provided by Thomas Allgaier and Frenes, based on the most relevant posts on LinkedIn about account-based marketing in CW 20 and 21. Frenes is a B2B market research company working with enterprises to optimize their campaigns with research-grade account profiling and insights. You can find more info in the description.
You know, if you told a marketing team today that their big strategy for the next 6 weeks was to just run absolutely zero campaigns, they would probably panic.
Oh, they definitely think they were getting fired. I mean, in standard high-volume marketing, that's just a death sentence.
Right, exactly. But if you're in the B2B space and you're selling these really complex high-ticket solutions, stepping away from that campaign dashboard for a month and a half is, well, it's actually how you build a million-dollar pipeline.
Yeah, and that structural shift is exactly what we're getting into today. So, welcome to the Deep Dive. We are unpacking the top account-based marketing, or ABM, trends that we've seen across LinkedIn over calendar weeks 20 and 21.
Yeah, and we're looking way past the fluff, past the surface-level tactics, to figure out how winning B2B teams are actually executing right now in 2026.
And I think the big overarching theme from all these insights is that people need to stop treating ABM as just another marketing campaign. It's an account investment model.
It really is. A lot of organizations, they just treat ABM like standard demand gen, just with, you know, a much higher price tag and some fancier software.
Which inevitably leads to some incredibly expensive failures.
Yeah.
Like Matt Royal laid out some very stark parameters about this. Mm-hmm. He basically argues that ABM is an operating philosophy. It's not a tactic.
No, not at all.
And if your business model doesn't fit a very specific mathematical profile, you honestly shouldn't be doing it at all.
Right. He draws a super hard line in the sand regarding deal size.
Right.
Like according to his metrics, ABM is only mathematically viable for deals with an annual contract value or ACV above 15,000 pounds.
Wow. Yeah, that's a hard line.
And your sales cycles need to be longer than 45 days, and you must be selling to a buying committee of like three or more stakeholders.
Let's actually break down the mechanics of why those minimums exist, right? Because if I have a product that costs, say, $500 a year, my allowable customer acquisition cost is tiny.
Yeah, you have zero margin.
Exactly. Mm. I can't afford to have a team spend hours researching a single company just to sell a $500 license. The unit economics completely collapse. I mean, I just need standard demand gen for that.
Yeah. And beyond the basic economics, the psychology of the target is kind of shifting too. Like Utsav Saraswat made this rather provocative statement recently. He just straight up said, B2B is dead.
Which, I mean, that sounds like standard LinkedIn hyperbole, right?
Totally. But his underlying point is actually intensely practical. His argument is that ABM trained teams to target abstract logos, right? Like, you're targeting a company. But companies don't reply to emails. You are ultimately selling to people.
Right. So the operational shift there is moving from, you know, is this company in our ideal customer profile to, is there a specific human inside this organization experiencing the exact problem we solve right now?
Yes. Think about what that looks like in practice. Instead of an outbound team trying to just blanket reach a Series B SaaS company, they are looking for, say, the VP of marketing at that company who has spent the last 30 days posting on LinkedIn about pipeline attribution problems.
It's the exact same target account, but you've fundamentally changed the entry point. You're stepping into their specific context.
Exactly. But to step into that context effectively, you need flawless structural preparation. Which kind of brings us back to that six-week dormant period you mentioned at the start.
Yeah, and this is where I look at how teams actually operate today, and there's just a massive disconnect. Right now, companies buy this really expensive ABM software, they write a few email templates, and they just immediately want to turn the machine on.
Yeah, they want the leads yesterday.
Right. It feels like everyone wants to build a penthouse before laying the foundation. It's like trying to furnish a house before you've even poured the concrete.
That is a perfect analogy. And Tricia Charabra highlighted some fascinating data regarding that exact rush to launch. She noted that ABM satisfaction across organizations actually drops the longer a program runs.
Wait, really? You would naturally assume the opposite, right? That the engine gains momentum and efficiency over time.
You'd think so. But it only gains momentum if the foundation is solid. Charabra points out that the first 6 weeks of a successful program shouldn't be campaigns at all. They should involve deep research, mapping out the internal hierarchy of the buying committee, and tiering the ICP.
Yeah, and Vladimir Blagojevich echoed this perfectly too. He observed that most marketing plans mistakenly start by picking channels like, oh, we're doing ads or events, and then they try to backfill the content to match some assumed audience.
Which is exactly why the program eventually stalls out. They are running these hyper-targeted ads to a list of accounts that just haven't been properly vetted for actual readiness.
Precisely. The issue is rarely the creative or the channel. It's almost always a shaky foundation, or misaligned sales and marketing teams, or just a complete lack of full funnel orchestration.
Right.
But let's look at the reality for the marketing leader presenting this plan. If I walk into my CFO's office and say, hey, I need a massive budget, and my team is going to sit in a room doing nothing but research for the next month and a half,
yeah,
I'm probably not surviving that meeting.
No, they would laugh you out of the room.
Right. So how do you defend that heavy upfront investment?
Well, you defend it with commercial discipline. You have to prove the math before you launch. And Ryan Carlin built this brilliant framework for this after he audited over 200 ABM programs.
200, wow.
Yeah, huge sample size. And he found that the primary predictor of success isn't messaging or targeting. It's entirely financial. You have to build a rigorous, comprehensive cost model.
And a true cost model isn't just, you know, the software license.
Yeah. No, not at all. It covers three specific buckets: media spend, the tech stack, and most importantly, the people costs. You have to calculate the fully burdened salaries of the SDRs doing the cold outreach, the marketing team designing the assets, and the ops team maintaining the data flow.
Okay, so once you establish that baseline cost, what's the next step? Because Carlin suggests mapping out the expected pipeline.
Right, exactly. You multiply your target accounts by your historical engagement rate, your meeting conversion rate, opportunity conversion, and average deal size.
Allowing you to basically calculate the expected revenue ROI before a single email is drafted.
Yep, you have the whole picture beforehand.
But come on, predicting close rates and pipeline before you send a single message. I feel like any CFO worth their salt is going to see right through made-up pipeline numbers. They know marketing is just guessing to get the budget approved.
And that is exactly why Carlin utilizes a sensitivity table. This is really what separates the operators from the amateurs. You do not just present one optimistic projection. You walk into that meeting with a spreadsheet mapping out conservative, base, and aggressive scenarios.
Okay. So you actively show them the worst case scenario.
You show them the mathematical reality of what happens if, say, your engagement rate drops to 20% instead of the projected 35%. When the CFO inevitably asks, what if this completely flops? You already have the math ready. You just point to column C. The financial structure of the program is sound, and you've already managed their expectations.
That's super smart. And Kirill Kirov provided a really great comparison to back up this financial logic, kind of contrasting ABM with traditional demand generation.
Yeah.
He looked at the mechanics of dropping $100K on Google Ads versus spending that same amount on a highly targeted 100 account ABM program.
Oh, the waste in traditional paid search for enterprise deals is just staggering.
It really is. Like, if you are targeting enterprise accounts, dropping $100,000 on paid search means you are bidding on broad industry terms. You end up paying like $20 a click for small businesses or students doing research, and just low relevance traffic.
Yeah, 90% of your budget completely misses the target.
Exactly. And your actual named accounts never even see your message. ABM fixes that precise financial leak.
So your pitch to the CFO is never, you know, ABM is an innovative strategy. The pitch is ABM delivers enterprise pipeline at a drastically lower cost per opportunity than our current ad spend.
Perfect. Okay, so the math is approved. The CFO is happy. And those 6 weeks of research are complete. We know exactly who's on the buying committee. Now we hit the operational wall, which is, how does a lean marketing team actually execute deeply personalized outreach to an entire enterprise committee without, you know, spending all day manually typing out emails and building web pages?
This is where we bring in AI. AI acting as the ABM execution layer. And the crucial shift here is that we have finally moved past using AI just to write, you know, slightly less robotic cold emails.
Yeah, the technical execution stories coming from the sources are incredible. Like Jayla Rizai shared an example of an AI-first campaign run by Kevin Jong at Genesis Computing. And get this, they had a two-person team. No dedicated design resource, no developer, no marketing ops manager.
And what they did was wild. They utilized Claude alongside a dynamic routing platform called Mutiny to target 20 massive enterprise accounts.
Right.
And they sent physical, custom Formula One remote control cars to these accounts, but the digital follow-through is where the mechanics are just fascinating.
Because usually building 20 completely unique personalized landing pages for enterprise targets would take a team, what, weeks? Weeks of drafting, designing, and coding.
Yeah, forever.
Oh.
But instead, they fed Claude their overarching brand guidelines and the specific researched pain points of those 20 individual accounts. Claude generated the highly personalized copy in parallel. Then, Mutiny acted as the routing layer, automatically mapping that generated copy into pre-designed blocks on their website based on the IP address of the visitor. They spun up 20 custom one-to-one pages in a single day.
Wait, a single day? For 20 custom pages?
Yep, one day.
That's insane. And it wasn't just a technical party trick either. 10% of those cold enterprise accounts converted into meetings.
Yeah.
I mean, that is triple the standard industry benchmark.
It is. And we are seeing that exact type of execution happening at even larger scales now. Nicola Ayen and Andy Van Oostrom reported using the Optimizely Opal agent to automatically generate between 800 and 2,000 hyper-personalized one-to-one landing pages.
Okay, let's actually look at the workflow of how that agent operates, because it's wild. A marketer essentially just hits go and walks away to grab a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
In the background, the Opal agent connects directly to their CRM to pull live prospect data. It fetches third-party web signals, competitor intelligence. It even navigates to the prospect's actual website, takes a live screenshot, extracts their brand's hex codes, and recolors the landing page so it visually mirrors the prospect's own branding, all while they're drinking coffee.
It's unbelievable. It entirely removes the content creation bottleneck that has historically choked ABM programs. And Majavoji shared a really similar operational win. Her team used Clay and Claude code to build 7 distinct AI-powered ABM plays. They generated $770,000 in pipeline in just 6 months, completely avoiding any new headcount.
But okay, let me push back a little here using Orla Murphy's perspective.
Yeah.
If AI can scale one-to-one pages instantly and fetch brand colors while we sleep, aren't we risking what she calls scaling mediocrity?
Sure.
Because it's like giving a massive megaphone to someone who has absolutely nothing interesting to say. You just get louder noise.
Yeah.
How do we keep it relevant?
That is the inherent danger of cheap personalization. Because it's fast, everyone's going to do it, which means buyers will become completely blind to it. So Murphy applies a very strict filter to any automated ABM content. She asks, does it genuinely reflect the unique landscape of this specific account? Does it use their actual internal terminology, or is it just industry buzzwords?
Yeah, she suggests this ultimate stress test, which is just asking, would a sales rep actually send this manually to strengthen a relationship? If a human wouldn't stake their reputation on the insight, it's just automated garbage.
Exactly, which points directly to an insight from Om Prakash Kurupanan regarding where AI actually provides a competitive advantage. Everyone is currently pointing AI at the top of the funnel to blast out personalized cold outreach, but that space is already completely saturated.
So where is the actual leverage then, if not at the top?
It's in the middle of the funnel where active deals quietly stall out. Think about it. Enterprise buying committees usually involve 6 to 10 people. But the reality is, most sales reps are single-threaded. They are only really talking to one champion. Kurupanan suggests AI shouldn't just be broadcasting. It should be listening.
Listening to what, specifically? Like social media?
No, call transcripts. You plug AI into 90 days of Gong or Chorus transcripts across all your active deals. It can aggregate every objection raised. But more importantly, it can catch the exact moment a champion goes quiet or spot a new stakeholder whose name was briefly mentioned in a meeting, but who never officially entered the CRM.
Oh, wow. So AI flags those buying committee gaps and alerts the team that a stalled account is ripe for reactivation.
Exactly. You're using AI to unstall existing pipeline.
So you're using AI as a highly sophisticated listening device in the mid-funnel rather than just a spam cannon at the top. But if AI is listening, that implies we need to know what sounds to listen for, right? We need the right signals.
Yep. And we are seeing a massive shift away from generic intent data to highly specific custom signals that actually indicate a real buying moment.
Jack Porter from Bird Dog had an amazing example of this. So standard intent platforms might tell you someone visited your pricing page or they searched for a generic category on G2. But Porter had a client who needed to track companies that were specifically actively moving off spreadsheets.
And you can't just check a box for moving off spreadsheets in a standard data tool. That doesn't exist.
You can't. So instead of relying on generic intent, they wrote custom scripts to scrape job boards. They set up alerts to trigger whenever a target account posted a new role for a data migration specialist, while simultaneously scanning press releases for mentions of digital transformation initiatives.
See, that is a tangible custom signal that represents an actual buying moment, not just a page view.
Exactly. And David Turovitz highlighted how relying on these signals fundamentally changes the architecture of your marketing engine. He points out that while outbound and ABM share about 70% of the same tools, the internal wiring is completely different.
How so?
Well, in standard outbound, signals are just used to enrich a list you already built. But in a mature ABM program, the engine is entirely signal-triggered. The signals don't enrich the list. The signals decide which accounts actually get activated and when.
Right, it's a reactive architecture. But having the signal isn't the finish line. Declan Mulkeen made an observation about the operational reality inside most teams. Marketers aren't actually short of signals. They are drowning in email opens, generic intent spikes, and webinar attendance records.
Yeah, they don't have a data problem. They have what Mulkeen calls a decision problem. They lack a strategic layer that dictates exactly what to do next with those signals. Which account needs attention today? What specific message do we send based on that job board posting?
And Yulia Linikova and Tanya Saez brought up a crucial point about how we actually act on these signals once that decision is made.
Their perspective on this is fantastic because it's completely counterintuitive. Say our custom scraping tool flags that a target company just secured a massive new round of funding. The immediate marketer instinct is to send an email saying, "Hey, I saw you just raised $30 million. Congrats on the funding. Want to buy our software?"
Yeah, and Yulia Olenikova argues that doing that ruins the magic entirely.
She uses this great metaphor. She says it's like a magician pulling a rabbit out of a hat and then immediately stopping the show to explain how the trapdoor mechanism works. By leading with the trigger, you expose the automation.
Exactly. And Anthony Natoli expanded on this too, noting that a funding round or a new executive hire is not inherently a reason to reach out. You need the context behind the signal.
Right.
Like, how exactly is that company planning to deploy the capital? What specific objectives and key results, the OKRs, is that newly hired VP of revenue operations responsible for hitting in their first 90 days?
Because if you lack that context, you are just reacting blindly to a data point. And Tania Saez pointed out that third-party intent data is now a total commodity.
Everyone has access to the exact same funding alerts. When 47 other vendors see that same signal and send the exact same congrats on the funding email, you aren't doing account-based marketing.
You're just participating in a synchronized spam event.
Exactly. The tactical hack here is to use the signal strictly to time your outreach. You want the outreach to feel like incredibly serendipitous, well-researched timing. You deliver specific value based on the operational challenges they are facing due to their new funding, but you never expose the automated trigger that alerted you to it.
Right. You want the buyer thinking, wow, this person reached out at the exact perfect moment with a deep understanding of our problem. Not, oh, their scraping tool finally populated a property in their CRM. You obsess over the clarity of the offer. Not proving to the prospect that you bought a fancy tracking software.
Which perfectly encapsulates the evolution we've discussed today, really. We move from doing nothing but deep, non-campaign research for 6 weeks to lay the foundation, to managing the CFO's expectations with rigorous sensitivity tables, to utilizing AI to dynamically map out mid-funnel blind spots, and finally, deploying custom signals to time our entrance without ruining the magic of the interaction.
If you enjoyed this episode, new episodes drop every 2 weeks. Also, check out our other editions on account-based marketing, field marketing, channel and partner marketing, AI and B2B, MarTech, go-to-market, and social selling.
And just to leave you with one final thought to explore on your own, I want to look at Bev Burgess's recent research. As AI makes it incredibly easy to automate hyper-personalized landing pages and scrape the web for niche buying signals, that technology will simply become table stakes. Everyone will have it.
Mm-hmm.
The real differentiator in 2026 and beyond won't be your tech stack. It will be your radical honesty and human empathy. Enterprise buyers are looking for partners who are willing to admit to previous failures and who genuinely understand the messy internal corporate politics of their organization, things that an AI agent cannot replicate or navigate. As you build out your complex ABM architecture, ask yourself, are you investing as much effort in human empathy as you are in your signal stack?
Because at the end of the day, no matter how seamlessly that Opal agent recolors a landing page, you are still just trying to solve a problem for the person on the other side of the screen. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.